You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. I am Mike Piccinato, and in this series, we are talking with Stephen and Jenny Jones, founders and staff with Exigent Communication, as they prepare to move with their family to Berlin, Germany, and join the staff of Envision Berlin. The springboard for our conversations is Stephen's book, Transitions Across Cultures, and his Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook, which can be tailored to fit the needs of cross-cultural ministry organizations. Thanks for joining us today for episode 6 of Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. And today is part 3 of a 3-part series with Stephen and Jenny Jones about the transition zone, or about the neutral zone. And if you're joining us for the first time in this series, the transition zone is that area between that time when you've made endings in a transition, but you haven't really settled into the new beginnings yet. And you're in this time in between where it really feels, as Stephen said, like you're a car in neutral and you're stepping on the gas, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. You're just in transition and you haven't really settled enough to be enjoying the new beginnings yet. Last week, as Stephen and Jenny talked about this, they shared some of their own personal experiences in the transition zone and gave us some coaching ideas about how we can transition through this time period well. This week, we're going to talk a little bit more about their experiences and then also move on to start talking about some of the expectations they have, which have particular meanings when people are in the transition zone. So with that, let's join Stephen and Jenny. How is this time in the transition zone impacting your faith journey?
I feel like it's been this weird pull of we've had so many things where we feel like we needed this to feel the presence of the Spirit and to feel the guidance and to really seek clarity in the chaos as we were processing through, you know, just feeling the blessing of having multiple offers on our house, right? But feeling like, okay, God, we really want to be wise and be clear about this, but feeling the pull of the chaos. And it's like, it took a lot to let go of our chaos and to like receive and listen. And I feel like that's been sort of a constant theme, is how do we let go of our chaos and sit and receive from the Lord? That feels like it's a sort of a theme. I don't feel like I can do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. This is a time where I kind of wish we were part of a more liturgical tradition. A friend of ours, we were talking with a couple of friends who recently moved to a more liturgical branch of the faith, and they said that one of the things that they realized is in church as they had known it before, there was this almost kind of over earnestness where it's like I have to feel all of the things, like if I'm singing or if I'm praying, and if I don't feel it, then maybe it's not true, which is interesting. I don't know, thinking about worship and those things. But they said they're finding a lot of freedom in the liturgy to just be saying something that's true because it's true, and to be reminded of the truthfulness of it, and that the truthfulness of it is not dependent on how I feel. And I think that there is something, and this is one of the things that I mentioned in the book, is that it's really important to have some things settled before you move into a time of transition, if you can. Things like identity, things like relationship, commitment, right? Like Jenny and I are married and we're committed to each other, even if in the midst of, you know, the transition, we feel not always great toward each other, right? The same thing with God, right? Like somebody said, I'm probably going to mess up this quote, but somebody said something along the lines of, you know, don't question in the dark what was clear in the light. I don't always feel close to God in the middle of the transition space, in the middle of the neutral zone. I also don't expect to experience God in ways that I would have outside of the neutral zone, because I don't experience anything the way that I did. there are moments where I'm like, oh, I'm perceiving the goodness of God, or I'm perceiving God's love for me. But those things are not dependent on my perception of them. And I think that that is really freeing.
One of the sections we'll talk about later in a future podcast episode is expectations and what it is that you're looking forward to on the other side. And sometimes those expectations later prove to be completely wrong. So there's the downside of expectations, but sometimes that really can give you some hope in the middle of the transition zone, looking forward to how things will be. What are some of the things that you are, whether it's 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, or a year or more down the road, what are some things you're looking forward to?
So I think it's having moved a lot, expectations feel funny. I'm usually a positive person, but I feel very negative. So I think thinking about expectations in a positive way feels challenging. But I do hope. So as simple as finding a coffee shop that we enjoy, like that feels like our, it's like, oh, it's this, we go there because we like it. And that it's close. I love having a close place to go. You're just walking down the street and they know you. They're like, oh, hey. I feel like the term hope and expectation, like, I hope this, but it's actually kind of an expectation. Like, hope and expectation feel like almost the same word, but not. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe.
Well,
they feel
like, because I expect that it's going to be difficult, and I don't hope that it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
So there's that side of the difference between them.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think we have enjoyed the process of getting to know our teammates. So I think that it's like, oh, I expect that to continue and develop into a working relationship that's good.
I think something that I, an expectation that I have that kind of gives me that hope, like you're saying, is, you know, as we were processing the question of, is this where the Lord is leading us? Is this the next step? Some of the elements that felt like affirmation of that had to do with the opportunity to really have space to do stuff that we care about and feel like God has specifically prepared us to do. So that's certainly an expectation, you know, that like, yeah, we're going to get to do stuff we care about in a way that we feel more free to pursue those than we have before. I think that's where there's also risk of expectation of if I, you know, color in the page too much ahead of time, I might
use the wrong color.
Yeah, I don't know. or like, oh, actually that wasn't my spot to color in, that was somebody else's. So I think that there's those risks. So I'm trying to leave it sort of loose, but there is certainly in me this deep hope and expectation of being able to move in things that I really care about in a way that feels more true to who we are, who God's made us to be, how God does, you know, led us in terms of getting equipped than what we've been able to do up to this point. I don't know if that's too lofty of a hope.
It's this balance, isn't it? We went to MTI, Missionary Training Institute in Colorado, before we came here. And one of the pieces of common family language that they gave us was the word twang. And twang is that feeling you have, like when you get snapped by a rubber band, when it's stretched and somebody pulls it and lets it go. And they use that to describe the feeling of an expectation that isn't met. You've stretched your hopes out, and for whatever reason, it hasn't been fulfilled. Somebody's let go of the other side of the rubber band, and it snaps up against you and causes pain. And the bigger the expectation, the bigger the risk of that twang really hurting. And I remember they packed some little kid into like 10 or 12 winter jackets, and then they stretched a big rubber band and let it go. And he said, that's great. I didn't even feel it. But that's the danger of saying, I don't want to have any expectations.
Right.
Is that you insulate yourself from disappointment, but then you rob yourself of feeling the joys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the tough spot to be in, especially in the neutral zone when you're processing so many goodbyes, is to also dare to hope.
Well, and not only that, we're in this partnership development stage where we have to help other people have a vision for what we think the Lord is leading us into. And so we have to speak with some degree of certainty around something we're not all that certain about and shouldn't be all that certain about. It's a very strange tension because we have a lot of certainty in some things and then other things where we want to start filling in the details and other people are asking for those details. Even it helps them to feel better about, you know, giving financially towards something if they know more details, which is totally legit, makes sense. But if we start attaching ourselves to certain answers to those questions, it can be really unhealthy. And also not wanting to mislead people. I mean, the tension is so significant.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like you feel like, well, we will be living in Europe, right? So it's like this thought of like, oh, I think we could probably travel. So it's like, that sounds like fun. But it's also like, well, I actually have no idea what things will look like for us at that point. So it's like, how much do you hold on to those things? How big of an expectation? I think that's the challenge of certain things.
Some places we've learned to kind of moderate expectations are things. So growing stuff really matters to us. We love growing things. But if we hold too tightly to that, like, oh, we'll definitely find a way to grow things, you know, like tomatoes or whatever. Like that actually, it's not an appropriate expectation to kind of, but it would be easy to put some of our discomfort into that spot. Oh, we're leaving all these things behind, but at least we know for sure we'll be able to grow something. Well, we don't actually. Some apartments don't have enough light to really grow anything. Like that's a reality. Could we find a way to grow things, you know, using, you know, light that's specific, you know, grow lights or whatever? Sure. I mean, we could. But it's better just to say that particular expectation is not worth putting a whole lot of hope in. We will probably find a way to express what that actually is inside of us in some way, cultivating, whether that looks like a tomato plant on a terrace or whether that looks like cultivating space for art
or a really cool grow table.
I know. I've been seeing these things. Living room tables. Like
that have lights. It's like a box.
And these shelves come out. And I have a feeling they're not near as cool in practice as they look in the magazine, you know, but.
Any other expectations or hopes?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want to say that they're expectations for our kids, but it's like the hope. Like that, again, it feels like the weird balance. I expect that they'll do school. That feels like a pretty safe expectation, right? But it's like, I hope they find, a place that they can
flourish,
land.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, that weird line between expectation and hope.
Yeah. I expect that part of what we'll be doing is working with teams from the U.S. and interns from the U.S. and that we will have something meaningful to say to them that we'll have, that we'll be able to help them in the process of discipleship and in other practical skills and perspectives that they're learning. I expect, so this is where expectations, I think, get risky. I expect that will matter. I think the danger there is saying, well, everything feels uncertain now, but when we get there, we'll feel like we matter. And this is where I think in the neutral zone, there's a space to stop and say, no, wait. God says I matter. God says we matter, not because of what we're doing. But I do think there's this, on the one hand, healthy sense of I want to contribute something that matters, something that's important, something that's worthwhile. And then on the flip side, if I put all of my current angst and discomfort, if I displace it onto that hope of being important, right? Like that's actually super unhealthy, both for me and the people that I work with. Because then I almost have to extract my lost sense of value from other people. And that's not good at all. And yet it doesn't mean we're not called to something that is important or something that matters, right? But the where that expectation fits is really important.
I think there's a sense of expectation of working on a team mm-hmm. that we've talked about and like are looking forward to.
We are too.
Both in a small team, but then also this larger team of people that are connected. And so it's like, oh, what will that look like? Like, but there's this, yeah, this sense of expectation around working together towards things that matter.
I think that this uncertainty about expectations and what role they play is also a particular, I don't think it's a bug, I think it's a feature of being in the transition zone. Mm-hmm. Because you're right in the middle of saying goodbyes, and you hope that there's a reason for that, that you're not just leaving for nothing, but there's so much disconnection taking place. You're not even quite sure what anchor you should start to attach your new hopes and expectations to yet. And maybe it's even part of Jenny, back to the airplane and my body is arriving before my soul. Your body hasn't even arrived here yet. And it's hard to send your soul in advance. And so, so some of those expectations follow. But you want to have enough to keep motivating as you're journeying. And sometimes that's just that deep belief that there is a purpose for this.
And then sometimes it's really superficial stuff. I'm really looking forward to the bread. I'm looking forward to the chocolate. Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, those are, I'm yeah, to the doner kebab, right? Like all of it.
Before we sign off, were there other things that have kind of come to mind as we've been talking about that you'd want to circle back to about the transition zone?
I think one of the things that was shocking to me about the transition zone, I can't remember if we've talked about this before or not, but it intensified this last week. We knew it was coming, but it came so much faster than we thought, especially like when we got ready to sell the house, because of the way things came together, we ended up needing to be out of the house for when we left. We didn't know how long it would be. It ended up being about 8 days. And suddenly we were in the chaos, and I knew it was coming, but I thought it was later. And, you know, I knew we were getting into all these endings, but then that one just completely took me off guard. And the intense start of ambiguity, we've been in these endings and we've been starting into the ambiguity, but there was just this sudden escalation. And in my mind, that wasn't for another month that was going to happen, because it wasn't until another month that we were expecting to leave the house, to actually move, to be gone from here. So even knowing it was coming, I still was surprised when we found ourselves in the midst of it already.
And I think it's been surprising just how the emotions are just so right at the edge of everything, whether that's happy, sad, crying, laughing, anger, like they're just right there.
And quickly between them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. For everybody. And even the things that set off the emotions. Like I was in our Aldi store a couple weeks ago and like about losing it because I didn't know what to buy or how much to buy. Or like, and I'm like, I can't cry here. I can't cry. I can't cry in the store.
Or the other night, Jenny and I were at the house getting it ready and realized we needed to eat. And we wandered around the grocery store. So we had gone to the grocery store because we thought it would be quicker and cheaper than going out to eat. And it ended up being neither because we couldn't make any decisions. We're wandering around. I think we'd been in the store for 10 minutes and we ended up somehow with, oh, and healthier was the other thing. It was none of those three, not cheaper, healthier, or faster. We ended up, I think, with jalapeno poppers that you put in the oven were one thing in our hand. I think, did we have carrots. Deviled eggs? Oh, carrots. That's carrots. What it was. And we're standing there 10 minutes on, this is how far we've gotten. And we can't, and we're like, this isn't dinner. This isn't dinner. But what is dinner? I don't know what dinner is. It was just like such a mess, man. Yeah. And we stopped and laughed at ourselves. Yeah. The ways that the chaos plays out are sometimes so funny.
Wouldn't it be nicer if there were little signs along the way that said, okay, you have now hit the ending stage.
Right.
You have now hit the neutral zone. But there's just, you're just in between for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or having the two happen at the same time. You're ending and ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to make it. There is another side.
Good.
That concludes our three-part series with Stephen and Jenny Jones about the transition zone or the neutral zone. And you might be in a transition right now and hitting the end of this three-part series and saying, I still have so many questions. I still have so much to process through. As Stephen and Jenny have shared multiple times in the last couple of weeks, a big part of helping them through this transition zone and through the endings is having people to dialogue with and interact with. And if you need that, please do feel free to reach out. We know how hard it is to go through these transitions. We've been through them as well. And if you'd like to process with somebody, you can feel free to join our Discord server or reach out to us through other contact information that you will find in the show notes for today. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.